Hello everyone, we're back out in the woods. Now if you saw the last video, you saw what a struggle I had during this past turkey season. I tell you what, you may notice a lot of gnats flying around because different than turkey, we have gnats aplenty right now. So we'll kind of disregard them. But anyway, you'll see in that video that I didn't have as many chances as I've had in the past. Our turkey numbers in our area has kind of dropped. And in our state as a whole, turkey numbers are kind of struggling. Now, there's many reasons for that. One is habitat. There's just not a lot of native grasses that we had out there like we did before, and there's lots of programs trying to bring those native grasses back. And there's other things that are involved with it too, but one of the main things is predators. Now, what do I mean by a predator? What I mean by a predator is a raccoon, possum, skunks, even coyotes and bobcats. But your raccoons, your possum, and skunks are the nest predators. Now, turkeys nest on the ground. And what happens is when a turkey lays her clutch of eggs on the ground, if a raccoon finds that nest, they don't just eat one egg, they destroy the whole nest. And so once that nest is destroyed, that turkey, that hen may not re-nest. And so with that, that's why a lot of times our turkey numbers in certain areas are struggling. Now, years ago, that wasn't the case. There's just not a lot of people that are trapping like there used to be. Now, you know, fur prices have dropped over the years. Back in the mid-1980s, when I did a lot of trapping, I was getting anywhere between $18 and $24 for a raccoon pelt, $24 to $25 for a fox. And, you know, it was quite lucrative to go out there and trap. But now, I think this past year, our average raccoon price was like $1.25. And there's just not a lot of incentive there. There's not a lot of people who get out and raccoon hunt even anymore. And raccoons can be tasty for the supper table. We might have to try that coming up. But anyway, so we're going to talk about trapping raccoons and why that's so important. We're here at our food plot where that we usually plant this area right here in the fall for deer season. We have a feeder right here. It's not going now since turkey season has just closed. But we did put out some feed the other day. And this is where we feed protein pellets and corn. And so we've got a lot of raccoon activity right here. And so I'm going to start setting some traps. And that's a good way to manage your property for turkeys and for other ground nesting birds like even quail. So we'll get started here real quick. So one of my favorite traps for raccoons, and these are really easy to set, you can really throw a lot of these out during one day, is what we'll call a dog-proof trap. Now the reason why it's a dog-proof is because a dog can't get his paw down in this cylinder right here. And in essence, you know what it does, raccoons are curious animals. And we'll put some bait in here. We'll kind of chum the area with some other little bait. And he'll reach down in there to try to get that bait. And this just simply snaps back and holds his hand right there until you come up and get him out of the trap, all right? And so basically this has a chain on it. We'll hook it to this stake right here. When I hammer it down the ground, we'll chain it onto this stake. And this has a swivel on it, so it won't break the wire. It'll kind of swivel around. And then we'll bait it. What I like to do is I like to use marshmallows. Marshmallows are a good eye attractor when it comes to, well, really raccoons primarily, but I'll half this marshmallow and I'll stuff it down there in the bottom, and there's a trigger down in there. So I'll show it to you in a minute, but when the raccoon reaches down in there to get the marshmallow, he hits that trigger and this snaps back. So I'll usually put a marshmallow in there. I'll break off a few pieces of the marshmallow and put it around the trap. Now, sometimes I've even used cat food. Cat food's a good bait. And so you can drop some cat food down the bottom of there, maybe chum the area a little bit around it with some cat food. But today I just happen to have a can of sardines. It ought to smell real good because I looked at the date and this is 6 years out of date. So it ought to be a pretty good lure. And so what I'll do is once I put the marshmallow in there, I'll drop some of the sardine juice down the bottom of there, and I may put some a little bit around it. And this will call them in. And there's lots of other lures you can use. This is just something simple I had at the house. And so it'll call them in from a long distance, even if they weren't frequenting this area right here. So we'll get started, and I'm going to set this trap for you real quick. All right, so I was going to use this stake because you can hammer this stake down in the ground. And like I said, tie it off to the chain here. The swivel will keep the trap kind of spinning around. But a lot of times when you're trapping, it's best to improvise and to make stuff as natural as possible. And so I'm going to do away with this stake, and easier, matter of fact. So I'm going to put this stake back here. And what it is, there's a tree root coming across here by the feeder. And so all I did was just work this wire through the tree root, and that'll give it to, and that'll hold the trap, hold the raccoon there. And I'll cover that with a little something here in a minute. So I've got my length here that I need. I'm just gonna cut this wire off like that. Do away with that piece of wire. And then just wire this to the ring real quick. Okay, so we've got that wired on. Now, you may think, and it's true in a lot of trapping situations, you know, it needs to be as natural as possible, but with a raccoon, especially, he's already around here by this feeder that's got some metal post and everything, and so this generally won't bother him at all. And so now we're going to put this marshmallow. I'm surprised I have any left because my wife's been eating them while she's been filming. I'm going to bite off half of this. Mmm, tasty. Now, I'm not going to do that with the sardines, though. So anyway, I'm going to roll this up. Actually, I don't need but about this much. Leave that out there for him. You can see the trigger kind of down in there. So I'm going to put this in. And I'm going to stuff it beyond the trigger. Kind of get it under the trigger so he has to push down on the trigger to get to it. Use a stick here to get it down. Okay, he's going to see it down in there. Kind of see it. Matter of fact, I can use this other part. So I'm going to put it in there as well. There we go. Marshmallows underneath the trigger. Now this ground's pretty hard. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and hammer this trap because it needs to be setting up. Kind of at an angle is the way I like to do it, honestly. That right there. Now we're going to see if we can get the trigger, get it set. Pull it back. And this is your dog here. We're going to get it set. I like to set it mine pretty loose, so right there. So now she's set. Nothing to it. Now, what I like to do a lot, now you could just take up and go. Like I said, it looks natural around this post right here, but I'm gonna dress it up just a little bit. And so what I like to do, I'll cover up this wire. I got some dirt over here. I'll kind of cover it up. That's what I like to do. And then I'll take some sticks. I don't know, just something to make it look as natural. Maybe, you know, something sticking up. Like that right there. You just don't want to get it near the trap. Now what we'll do is we'll get this marshmallow here. And I'll usually, they'll eat a lot. So I'm going to kind of break off a couple pieces here. Put it out here. A little bit of an eye attractor. Now let's just see how much this sardine smells after 6 years out of date. Mmm. I don't know about tasty. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to drip a little bit down in there. Just drip a little bit down. He's going to smell that. It's going to come out the bottom there. I'll probably put a little dirt just to kind of, and I'll drip a little there. And I tell you what I'll do. I'll probably just go ahead and put a little piece of fish right there. Now then, we're good to go. So that's all it is to it. So we'll check this right at daylight in the morning, see if we got Mr. Raccoon. And if we do, then I'm pretty confident we will. So if we do, what we'll do is we'll reset this thing, keep on going down the trail, and throwing out more traps. Well, as we were shooting the video for trapping raccoons, you know, to help kind of protect our turkeys and their nests and everything, because we have so many raccoons, you can see right here, we just happened to be driving back to the house, and we'd been seeing a hen down here close to this spot, and Yolanda look over, and here's an egg right here, so you can tell, see the yolk that's inside it right there, where a predator has already gotten the egg and ate it. And I'm sure that he went ahead and destroyed the rest of the nest, but that's what happens when you have too many predators on your property and you're not trapping them out enough and controlling those numbers. Did you know that there are 5 essential elements that must be present to provide a viable habitat for animals to survive? It's true. The 5 elements are food, water, cover, space, and arrangement. These same elements must be present for our spiritual life as well. Let's look at food. In John 6:35, we read, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." And the verse continues with our second element, water. "And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." How can our hunger and thirst be filled by Jesus? Through the reading of his word. Just as we need food and water daily, we need his word on a daily basis as well. The next element is cover, a place of protection. Scripture tells us that God will provide that for us, just as a mother bird would protect her young. In Psalms 91:4, it says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Our fourth element is a space to thrive. Christ provided that for us when he gave us his church. We find a space where we can thrive when we are a part of a community of believers, a church that preaches the word of God and disciples us. It's also a place where we serve with our own talents and gifts that the Lord has given to each one of us. And our final essential element is the arrangement of it all. You know, everything should have its proper place in our lives. These things aren't just required daily. How these elements are placed and prioritized in our lives is vital to our survival. In fact, it goes beyond that. If these elements are met daily and prioritized, we will go from not just surviving, but to thriving, which is exactly what I hope happens in my life and yours. And of course, with my turkey. I'm going to get back to setting out some more of these traps, so take time to get out in the great outdoors, and I'll see you next time.